This is Community Update on Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. A demand for change is the message from Black Lives Matter South Bend over how police respond to mental health crises. The organization held a town hall Tuesday evening, saying it's analyzing mental health response units already in place in other cities.
Its leaders say it starts with who makes the call to other organizations outside of the police department to respond to mental health emergencies.
Black Lives Matter South Bend, joined by the family of Dante Cottrell, is asking members of the community to attend upcoming council meetings to ask for a change in mental health crisis response.
The NAACP, Black Lives Matter, the Michiana Alliance, Justice for Michiana, we're not going anywhere.
The organization says it's been reviewing mental health crisis response models across the U.S. They say cities in Oregon and Colorado have independent volunteer organizations that respond to mental health emergencies. Speakers tonight responded to community concerns of bringing an unarmed civilian to a potentially dangerous scene.
And we've gotten comfortable, say those people who exist in structures that do things like deciding whether or not to de-escalate a scene, or deciding whether or not enough talking has happened, or deciding when to shoot.
Mimicking models in other states, the group says the biggest change it wants to see is mental health crisis response teams available 24/7.
We are not proposing that we create anything out of thin air. We have some models.
The organization says now it plans to take these requests to city legislators. South Bend Mayor James Mueller was not at tonight's town hall, but says he will, quote, continue to work with partners to implement a crisis center and 24/7 mental health response teams in our community. The mayor says he also encourages residents to attend the city's community action group meeting 1 week from tonight.
Black Lives Matter South Bend says it does plan to go to the city's meeting next week. That'll be at Brown Intermediate Center from 6 to 7:30.
WSBT 22's Ann Lurie reporting. Turnaround efforts made at some South Bend schools appear to be sparking positive changes. There is growth in reading assessments in the district's two redesigned elementary schools.
Statewide reading assessments results released this month show 1 in 5 third graders in Indiana don't have basic reading skills. There's a glimmer of hope, though, for two of South Bend's worst performing schools. Reading scores at Marquette and Meisel Elementary Schools went up this year. Marquette Montessori is not a traditional school.
Montessori, in a nutshell, is the education of the whole child.
The kindergarten through sixth grade school follows the Montessori model. Teachers are more like guides, and they help students create and follow their own path to learning through projects and hands-on exploration.
You're preparing them to be citizens of the world.
But because it is a public school, students are also preparing to take the traditional standardized tests, like iRead and iLearn. Unfortunately, at Marquette and some other South Bend schools, test results over the years haven't been good. That's why after several years of receiving failing grades from the state, Marquette and Meisel Elementary are now part of the corporation's redesign plan. It's an effort to turn around the schools and avoid a state takeover.
We've set really lofty goals. We want every student reading on grade level. That's going to be tough, and it's going to take us some time.
The redesign plan was officially launched in 2021. Each school hired a new principal and social worker. Teachers and school leaders received additional training, on-site coaching, and new pay incentives. And support services for families were strengthened.
They are well capable. Our children are intelligent. Our children are hardworking kids.
It has now been 1 year, and Marquette principal Matt Emery says there is slow growth taking place, and it started with building trust.
I'm not going to go into a meeting and say, these are our scores from last year. It's not. We are in the people business. We're humans. And so we wanted to form positive relationships first and foremost.
Marquette's iRead scores are up this year, and so are Meisel's. Take a look at this. In 2021, only 50% of students at Marquette Elementary School were reading at grade level. In 2022, this past spring, 69% of third graders were now reading at grade level. And the increases appeared at Meisel too. In 2021, 16% of third graders were reading at grade level at Meisel. This year, in 2022, 31% of third graders were reading at grade level.
We are much more than just one test score a year.
Emory admits there is still a lot of work left to do for Marquette, for Meisel, and for other South Bend schools.
We're not a failing school. We're not. We are not a failing school. And if you just walked in our hallways and were greeted by our kiddos and our staff, you would feel it too.
iLearn math scores for both schools improved in 2022 over 2021. And there is improvement at some of the district's middle schools as well.
WSBT 22's Kristen Bean reporting. Local economic leaders say they're excited about the future as projects and proposals in New Carlisle could produce more than $2.5 billion in development and create up to 1,600 permanent jobs.
After nearly six decades of population decline, the latest census numbers show the city of South Bend is growing. The Chamber of Commerce president tells me they invested in parks and entertainment to help bring people to the area.
Companies that are interested in investing in our communities, our local communities right here in the States, is a monumental factor, and that's going to really, create win-win situations for everybody.
Growing economic opportunities throughout Michiana. Lake Michigan College sees long-term investments like the $2.4 billion Ultium Cells plan that could be coming to New Carlisle as a way to create opportunities for the youth that are too good to pass up.
Obviously, our cost of living here, beats East Coast or West Coast, right? And if you have companies who are paying a high wage, who are offering great benefits, I think those incentives are going to make all the difference in the world.
St. Joseph County is competing with other locations for the Ultium Cells facility, an agreement that would still need to be approved by county commissioners. South Bend Regional Chamber of Commerce President Jeff Ray says the facility would create a positive impact for the entire area.
We're optimistic that should something like this come, it's a real shot in the arm for the job outlook here in our community.
Jeremy Bonfiglio with Lake Michigan College says it's often a student's first instinct to move away from their hometown to find opportunities. But as economic development increases in the region, he hopes they understand everything is available in their own backyard.
It gives an opportunity for our students and our graduates to stay close to home and invest in our community as well after graduation.
The South Bend Regional Chamber is getting ready to kick off Manufacturing Days in early October. The partnership shines a spotlight on local manufacturers by sharing career opportunities with high school students in the area.
WSBT 22's Ronnie Doss reporting. St. Joseph County police officers now have a new tool to help those who sometimes have trouble communicating. The Autism Society of Indiana has donated 150 picture boards to help those who have trouble speaking in emergency situations.
And they plan to hand out a few thousand more before the end of the year.
Emergency communication boards are a visual tool that have pictures, letters, numbers, and the words yes and no.
There are questions like what's your name, where do you live, your phone number.
The hope is to help any and all people who have trouble speaking, whether that's someone with autism, dementia, Alzheimer's, or someone that is not responding to verbal instructions or questions in the time of an emergency.
We just want to make sure that our citizens in Indiana that are on the spectrum or anybody that's communicatively challenged, that they'll have a way to communicate in emergency situations.
Grants and donations to the Autism Society of Indiana help provide these vital tools to first responders throughout the state.
All of our patrol officers, every merit officer will have one of these boards with them. Horse posse members, our reserve officers, and then members of our correctional staff in the jail will have these cards.
Sheriff Bill Rudman says every year, county officers are required to go through a 24-hour training to help people with dementia or autism, or just have a hard time speaking. Now he says these communication boards will help even more in emergency situations.
So being able to point the pictures on, how they feel, or asking yes or no questions by simply pointing to those answers would be extremely helpful to our police officers.
The Autism Society of Indiana says if you're a part of a first responder agency and have not been contacted yet regarding these boards, to please reach out to them.
WSBT 22's Ashley Dagger reporting. Some in South Bend are not happy about the city's only public swimming pool being closed all summer. The South Bend Parks Department says there's a lot of work needed at Pottawatomie Pool.
It's a perfect day to hit the pool with plenty of summer heat, but Pottawatomie Pool has been empty of swimmers all summer long.
When you have a 67-year-old pool, sometimes things need a little sprucing up. Before the start of the summer pool season, the South Bend Venues, Parks, and Arts Department came to a decision. The Pottawatomie Pool would be inactive to start the summer. due to problems with the pool lining and other mechanical issues.
It was a very tough decision. Over the past few years, we've been doing a lot of things at the facility in efforts to keep it available and open to the public. And so going into this year, it was kind of that same thing. And what can we do to make this happen?
An online petition was recently started called Save Pottawatomie Pool. Those who started the petition say the Parks Department needs to be more communicative.
We knew the pool wasn't going to open. We hadn't heard anything as to if it was going to be fixed or patched or open this summer or open next summer. They haven't really said.
Joan says the Parks Department has done its best to be transparent about the pool situation. But opening up the pool, while it wasn't safe to do so, was not something the city was willing to do.
The main thing is just kind of understanding the whole solution. Sometimes there's a lot of moving parts to keep some of these facilities and operations running, and so our first goal is always trying to do all that we can to keep it open to the public so they can enjoy that amenity.
The city currently has an engineering firm from Mishawaka analyzing the pool issues. Marks and the rest of the petition organizers say the city needs to be placing the pool as a priority on next year's budget.
If it's not on the budget for 2023, then is it going to have to be another summer of it just sitting there? Does it not need to be on the budget because they have enough money to put a new liner and they've decided that's what they're going to do and they're just going to open it as is?
Joan says once the study from Frost Engineering is complete, a timetable for when the pool could open again can start to take place.
WSBT 22's Leo Goldman reporting. An invasive species moving through the Midwest is getting closer to us. Indiana's Department of Natural Resources wants us all to be on the lookout.
The bug was first spotted in Pennsylvania in 2014, which caught their attention. Last summer, it moved its way into the state, which prompted the DNR to start preparing in case it found its way here. They may look pretty, but spotted lanternflies can destroy trees, wreak havoc for vineyards, and leave a mess.
It's a sticky substance, and it attracts a lot of other wasps, bees that want to use that sticky substance.
For many, this is something new to look out for.
My dad had texted me a week or so ago, sending a picture of it, and said, if you see this, you're supposed to destroy it and then report it.
Aaron Weber got to see firsthand one way the DNR is preparing.
Yeah, there you go. You did find it. Good job.
Callie Bontrager has been training her two Australian shepherds to sniff out the egg masses. Spotted lanternflies lay their eggs on all kinds of structures, so she hid three odors around the park. Both Echo and Q started off strong.
They found it within a minute or two, each dog.
One of the odors was accidentally moved before the training started, adding to the challenge, but both dogs were able to find all three. Bontrager hopes the dogs can help detect any infestation before it gets too big.
The earlier we can find it, the better off we can have a chance to maybe eradicate it and keep it from doing a lot of damage.
Uncertain if or when they could make their way to northern Indiana, she says the trio are training every day just in case.
Because it was found in Huntington along the railroad tracks, and that's the theory is that it's following roadways and railroad tracks, hitching rides. So, and we've got a lot of railroad systems that come up through the northern part of this state.
Bontrager says if you happen to see one, catch it or kill it and then report it to the DNR. She says she would rather have hundreds of people calling thinking they see it when it's not here than to have someone say something after an infestation takes over.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. The South Bend Motor Speedway is transitioning to new ownership. Owners Kevin and Vern Sauer sold the racetrack, and fans said their farewells to them last weekend.
Those who have worked with them over those years say they've changed the atmosphere, not only for the track, but for the racing community.
After 7 years of ownership, Kevin and Vern Sauer are waving the checkered flag one last time at the South Bend Motor Speedway. Fans are filling the stands to say goodbye to a family some say have been more than just owners.
Vern's wife, Marinell, came up to me and was in tears earlier, gave me a hug, and it was emotional, kind of put tears in my eyes. You know, it's kind of sad to see it all go. Like I said, we came here in 2017, and it's been a great place that we call home now.
They're calling tonight the final farewell to the Sauer family, a brother ownership duo that drivers and fans say have changed the Speedway's atmosphere forever.
The Speedway says all races will continue as scheduled for the rest of the season.
WSBT 22's Ann Lurie reporting.
Views and opinions expressed are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily reflect the views of WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us next week for Community Update on Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.